Let me invite you to prepare your hearts for the Word of God as we have our scripture reading for this service. I want to ask that we all settle down. The scripture reading is from the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 23. Verse 8 to 12. 2 Samuel 23, verse 8 to 12. I'm going to ask the communications department to put the verse up for us and leave it on. Leave it on if you can, or follow me in the message. I'm just going to stay on these four verses for this message. I'm reading from the New King James Version. It says, "These are the names of the mighty men whom David had: Johanan, Bathsheba, the Tachmonite, chief among the captains. He was called Adino the Hezronite, because he had killed 800 men at one time. And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Hauhite, one of the mighty men with David when they defied the Philistines, who were gathered there for battle. And the men of Israel had retreated. He arose and attacked the Philistines until his hand was weary and his hand stuck to the sword. The Lord brought about a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to plunder. And after him was Shammah, the son of Haggi the Hararite. The Philistines had gathered together into a troop where there was a piece of ground full of lentils. So the people fled from the Philistines, but he stationed himself in the middle of the field, defended it, and killed the Philistines. So the Lord brought about a great victory." Church, the title of my message for this Sabbath is, "Will Your Name Be Remembered?" Please ask your neighbor for me. Will your name be remembered? You know, this week as I contemplated this message, it struck me that many times in life, our notion of greatness is misplaced. You know, many of us, having come from Nigeria, when we were growing up, one of the things they tell us, you know, about the reason why you ought to have children is so that they will carry on the family name. And we were brought up to think that the more children you have, the better for your name. And as a matter of fact, in some very traditional Nigerian family, they will say that, in fact, you need to have a boy, because girls will marry and then people will forget your name. But a boy will carry on the family name. But before you start to blame Nigerians, look in the Bible. Because in the Bible too, when they give the accounts of names of family, more dominance is given to the boys. And everyone wants to have a boy. So you have some families, they already have four girls, but they still want a boy. I want you to know today, you know, that as I begin to grow older, just like Brother Morris said today, it occurred to me that what makes your name to remain after you are gone is not your children. Ever someone? It occurred to me as I begin to grow older that the amount of time your name remains after you does not depend on how many boys you have. Is someone with me today? So as I grew older, I started to ask myself, what it is that makes a name remain? You know, I essentially found out that in this 20-something century, how many of us are our parents still here? Who will say to your folks back home, "Oh, I saw your child. Oh, it really reminds me of you." And many of us, we are having our children here. There's no guarantee that they are going back to Nigeria. And some of you have never thought of that. So when you return at 60-something or 70-something or 80, No, who said to you, oh, I saw your child on the road. You know, last week, he really reminds me of you. You know, it occurred to me that many times the notion of having our names engraved in the sands of time is faulty. Because it has nothing to do with our children. It occurred to me that the only thing that you can do that will make your name remain is how you have touched the lives around you. Yes. Is someone with me today? Yes. Want you to know that no matter how much time goes on, the name of Nelson Mandela will be remembered, not because he had children, but his name will be remembered because of what he had done. And so as I began to grow older, Brother Morris, it occurred to me that I have to move away from thinking that the permanence of my name is inscribed in my children. Hello, someone. That I have to think to myself, when I am gone, what will people say about me? Will my name be remembered? And I want to ask each one of you today, when the history of Blessed Hope Seventh-day Adventist Church is written, will your name be on the roll call? I want you to know that you can worship here for 50 years. If you do not impact any life, no one will remember your name. Tell me someone. If you don't believe me, look at the story we read in the scripture this morning. The Bible talks about David, and if you backtrack to the book of 1 Samuel 22, 1 and 2, you will see that when David was preparing an army, the Bible says he gathered needy people. He gathered the distressed, those who are in debt, the discontented, because he was preparing an army that would fight against the army of Saul. So David took this group of 400 men that are recorded in 1 Samuel chapter 22, and he beat a mighty army for God. And as you come to chapter 27 of 1 Samuel in verse 2, the Bible says that this group of 400 men grew to 600 men, and the Bible called them 600 valiant men. So I want you to watch my lips. They were not ordinary men, but they were valiant men. By the time we got to 2 Samuel 23, the Bible says to us that these 600 men, they were outstanding. Outstanding, valiant men. But as we read from verse 8 to verse 12, you will find that not all the names of the 600 men were mentioned, even though they were valiant. Oh, is someone with me today? I want you to know that there is no space for those who are not valiant to even begin with. But even when you are valiant and outstanding, like those 600 men were, in verse 8 to verse 12, I want you to know that only the finest of the finest are remembered. Hello, someone. So in verse 8 to verse 12, the Bible tells us that out of these 600 men, there were three chief valiant men. What? Not the word chief. Chief valiant. But where is the space for ordinary men? When even valiant men were not mentioned. Then out of these valiant men, there are three chief valiant men. So in this passage from verse 8 to 12, we see three men who would not permit their circumstances to defeat them. Now I want you to know that if we have people with the attitude of these three men in our church, or our churches, then we will be able to further the kingdom of God extensively. So I want to ask you today, when the roll call is made, will your name be remembered? But let's broaden it. When the roll call in heaven is being looked at, will your name be remembered? Oh, you know that the Bible says that there are books of records, and names of men are remembered. Will your name be remembered? When people are talking about those that move Blessed Hope forward, will your name be remembered? When they talk about those who gave their all to the service of God at Blessed Hope, will your name be remembered? When people talk about those who are dedicated, those who are sold out for the gospel, working effectually at Blessed Hope Church, will your name be remembered? So I want to share with you very quickly. Our time is fast spent this morning, but I want to quickly share with you in the next 10 minutes. Three types of members that God is looking for at Blessed Hope Church. And before you leave today, you have to purpose in your mind, if you truly want your name to be remembered, the first type of men that God is looking for, or women, or members that God is looking for, a man who will face the hordes. What did I say, church? A man who will face the hordes. If you look in verse 8, the Bible says, these are the names of the mighty men whom David had. Hadino, the Hezronite, because he had killed 800 men at one time. 800 men at one time. There are some few things that the Bible talks about, about Hadino. And what you find is that the Bible says, as you read about him, that he lifted up his spear. And I'm using the King James translation now. If you read the King James, it says he lifted up his spear. Hadino was so against the horse because he had 800 men against him. But the Bible says he lifted his sword, lifted his spear against 800 men. Some of us, we will not even lift our spear against one man. But the Bible says, though the hordes were against him, he lifts up his spear. Hadino was not afraid of the hordes that were against him. And it must have been, the Bible says, after he lifted his spear, he slew 800 people at one time. Now, some of you have seen battlefields before. If it takes Hadino 30 seconds to kill one man, how long will it take him to kill 800 men? There are some mathematicians in the house. If it takes him 30 seconds to kill one man, how long will it take him to kill 800 men? Come on, speak to me, church. Come on, camera, you can do better than that. 30 seconds to kill one man, how long will it take to kill 800 men? What's that? No. Calculate it well. How many? Okay, let's talk about it in minutes. How many minutes will it take in? 400 minutes. 400 minutes, yeah? 30 seconds for one man, 800 men. That's 400 minutes. Now, how many hours is 400 minutes? 6 hours. Thank you very much. 6 hours something. Now, watch with me. This man had 800 men against him. If it took him 30 seconds killing each, this man was slaughtering the Philistine for 6 hours plus, non-stop. Is someone with me today? Non-stop. The man had his spear and he was slaughtering the Philistine 6 hours plus, about the same time that you spend in the office every day. So whilst you are busy typing away at your computer, this man was slaughtering the Philistines. He did not stop. He did not have a coffee break. He did not have a lunch break. He did not have a tea time. This man kept slaughtering the enemy for those numbers of hours that you were working. Is someone with me today? The hordes were against it. I want you to know that God is looking for those that will give of themselves even though the hordes are against them. And the hordes are always against us when we are looking for gaining territory for Jesus. Hadino could have said, after all, we're outnumbered and I have my own family to raise. But he didn't. Rather, the Bible says, he lifted his spear and he killed 800 men at one time. One time. I want to ask you today, are you ready to face the hordes for Jesus? Are you ready to face the hordes? Are you ready to be one against a majority? The second type of man or workers that God is looking for here at Blessed Hope. A man who finish the mission. A man that will finish the mission. Let's look at verse 9. In verse 9, the Bible says, "And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo the Harohite, one of the three mighty men with David when they defied the Philistines. You are gathered there for battle, and the men of Israel had retreated." The very first thing, I'm using the King James again, he says that, you know, he was one of the mighty men that defied the Philistines. I want you to know that the Philistines were great warriors. They were giants in the land. But this, the word of God says that these men, they defied the giants. Is someone with me today? I want you to know that greatness is not a matter of size. Greatness is a matter of how big the giants you have slaughtered. Some of us, we are contented slaughtering ordinary men or dwarfs even. But I want you to know that if you want your name to be hedged in the time, in the sands of time, you must have a giant to your name. So many times God presents us with giants in the form of so many things, but rather than slaughtering the giants, we begin to complain. I want you to know that if you truly want your name to be remembered, you must have a giant to slaughter. The Bible says they defied the Philistines. And then, you know, I began to laugh as I read on. The Bible says, "And the men of Israel have all fled." So Eleazar found himself facing the Philistines, and all the other men had run away. Imagine if in our work for God had blessed you, you suddenly find out that even the pastor had run away. Will you stand and complete the mission? Or will you find an excuse? Every other person had retreated. But Eleazar stood so that he will make sure that the mission is complete. You know, many times when we have the work of God to do, I hear things like, "Oh, am I the only one going?" Yes, what if you are the only one going? But the others are not cooperating. Yes, what if they are not cooperating? The Bible says that Eleazar was a man that could complete the mission. I want you to know that in Yoruba, they say that Ibere Kolonise. That is, he that started out is not he that really mattered, but he that completed the job. Is someone with me today? God is looking for completers, not starters. Please ask your neighbor for me. Can you complete the mission? Rather, can you complete the mission? I can complete the mission. God is looking for those that can complete the mission. The Bible talks about it in Elias. It says, "And when all the men had run away, he arose." He said with me, the men had fled, but then he rose up. I want you to know that when God is looking for someone, God is not calling us as the church. God is looking for an individual. Every time he calls, he's not calling all the saints. Well, many times you sing the song, when the saints go marching in. I want you to know that it is not about when the saints. It is, "Here I am, Lord, standing in the need of prayer." And the Bible says, "And smote the Philistines until his hand was weary." Is someone with me today? Many times we have, our church is filled with people that will slaughter the enemy until they get tired. Then when they get tired, they say, "I've had enough. I can't do more than this. Tell them that I have tried. That since money have been the only one, there have been no one that showed their face. Let somebody take over." People do things for God, and then they come to a point and they begin to say, "I've had my fill. Oh, I've been on that post 3 years. Give it to another person. Pastor, I can do no further. I am tired." But the Bible talks about Elias. And he says that he slaughtered the enemy until his hand was weary. Some of us don't know that because we have never been wearied for the work of God. But if you continue to read about him, not only was his hand weary, the Bible says his hand was stuck to the sword. He had been slotting there for so long that he couldn't even let go of the sword. His hand was stuck to the sword. I want to ask you today, is your hand stuck to the sword? Let me tell you, you might have killed 1,000 Philistines. If you give up at the point of victory, the battle could be lost. God is looking not for those that will move to the verge of victory, but those that will cross over to victory. Before, his hand was stuck to the sword. I want to ask you today, are you a completer? Because those are the kind of people that God is looking for. The Bible says, and the Lord wrought a great victory that day. And listen, when you read on, the Bible now says that, what verse are we on now? Now I want us to see that. Can we please go to verse 10? Look, it says, and the Lord brought about a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to plunder. What does that mean? When this man has slaughtered everybody and he had won the victory, the people now came. We did it together. The Lord is good. Hallelujah. And they started to share in the spoil. But I want you to note one thing. The Bible or the narrative did not say to us that Elias began to complain and said, where were you when I was doing the work? He shared the plunder. He was happy to share the plunder. Let me tell you, one of the nature of a great man of God is a man that has humility to share everything that he has won and gotten victory for God. That was why Paul says, let Paul plants and Apollo waters. What matters is that God is glorified. And the people came back and they shared in the plunder. But I pray today that you will not be of them that just came back for the luxuries. You know, Elias gave a good example. He believed that the mission is possible. And I want you to know that everybody loves a finisher, even God. God loves a finisher. I pray that at the end of our lives, you will be able to say like Paul, that I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. The last set of people that God is looking for, workers that God is looking for, a man who will focus on the enemy. Is someone with me? A man who will focus on the enemy. And the Bible then talks about the third mighty man, or the third chief valiant man, Shammah. The Bible says, and the Philistines were gathered together into a troop. Listen to me. They were not only gathered, or scattered. It says they were gathered, they were reinforced together. It was an army that Shammah had to face. But Shammah knew who his enemy was. The Bible says, and the Philistines, those are the enemy. I want to ask you today, do you know who the enemy really is? Do you know the enemy? Well, many times folks in church think that the enemy is a member they do not like. Hello, someone. Many times we think that the enemy is the sister that sits in the pew next to behind us, or the brother that is always, sitting on our right. I want you to know that you need to be able to recognize the enemy. Bible says that Shammah recognized who the enemy was. He wasn't a member that would look down on the weaknesses of others or blame them for their faults. He knew the enemy. And the Bible says that they gathered together where there was a piece of ground full of lentils. And Shammah knew that the ground was a sacred trust from God. God gave them, God promised them the land of Canaan. That was their inheritance. Shammah recognized that the ground was an inheritance from God. So he will not yield even a square of it, except over his dead body. So the Bible says that Shammah stood in the midst of the ground and he defended it. He stood in the midst of the ground. You know, there are so many Christians today that the enemies are chasing them away from where God has given unto them. Is someone with me today? There are so many Christians that are running away from their inheritance. It's unfortunate that many of us don't understand Yoruba. You know, Yoruba, there is an addict that says, you know, they want to cook, you don't know about that one. Is that someone with me today? Please translate it to those who do not speak Yoruba for me. And before you begin to laugh at the Yoruba, you know, because that argument says that if you keep saying I can't die, you will never aspire to where God is taking you. But before you start to laugh at the Yoruba, let me tell you what the Bible says. The scripture says, for the kingdom of God suffereth violence, and the violence taketh it by what? By force. So many people are running away from the piece of ground that God has planted their feet on. Running away from their inheritance, from what the Lord had given them to possess. Today I pray that you claim your possessions. Your inheritance no one will take from you. Bible says he stood his ground and he defended it. Let me tell you, when you begin to defend what God had already promised you, your name will be remembered for life. And he fought and he slew them. And the Bible says, and the Lord brought about a great victory. Saints, what I'm saying to us today, my message is simple. Will your name be remembered? When they call for the Adinos, when they call for the Elizas, when they call for the Shammahs, will you be one of them? When they are telling the history of the church at Blessed Hope, will they remember your name? Or will you be like one of those other 597 brilliant men that they will just mention and put them all in one bracket? The brilliant men. In 10 years' time, 20 years' time, when we talk about those who have served God faithfully and worked for him here at Blessed Hope, would your name be remembered? Or would they begin to describe you? And you don't know him. He's the brother that used to sit on that, you know, a left side of the church, the middle pew. Oh, he was a bit tall. He was a bit tall like Pastor. No, he's not tall like me. He was a bit short. And he's in light. They will have forgotten. Or when your name is mentioned, people will be able to say, don't even bother. I know him, that brother or that sister was always giving himself for the work of God. Will your name be remembered? Saints of God, I want you to know that each one of us, we have to mark our names in the sands of time. People must be able to look back and say, he did his best for the master. Don't just start out. Be a finisher. Devote yourself to the work of God. Work until your hand is wearied and stuck to the sword. By the way, what is the sword? The word of the sword of the Spirit, the word of God. Let people be able to say about you that, oh, that sister, he never deviated from the word of God. As we bring the service to a close today, while sitting down, I want us to sing this hymn. And after that, I'm going to come and say the prayer. It's hymn number 316. Hymn number 316. And as we think about the message today, I want you to know that if you are willing in your heart to yield everything to God, Jesus can live out his life within you.
so that your name truly will be remembered when the roll call is taken. Live out thy life within me, O Jesus, King of Kings. Be thou thyself the answer to all my questionings. Live out thy life within me. In all things have thy way. Hide the transparent medium, thy glory to display. Live all thy life within me, O Jesus, King of Kings. Be thou thyself the answer to all my questions. As we sit down to pray this afternoon, I want you to hold the hands next to you. As we pledge ourselves to his work, today we want to say, Father Lord, we join ourselves together as an army against the true enemy of our souls.
Lord, today we recognize that the enemy is not this brother or sister whom hands we are holding. The enemy is not in the brother that sits behind us or the sister that we have been annoyed with. Oh Lord, our enemy is no other person than the one that prowls around looking for him to devour. The Lord, as the Lord says, that if we would defend our territory, rising against the enemy, for though he has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy, the Bible says that for this reason was the Son of God manifest, to destroy the handiwork of the enemy. So Lord, as a church today we ask, live out thy life within us. Help us that Lord will be able to walk together as an army for the Master. And Father Lord, today as individuals I pray that you give us a resolute mind so that we will be able to stand our ground, able to face the odds, able to finish the task. Father Lord, some of us, we have gone too far to turn back now. We have already sacrificed decades of our lives unto you. Lord, it is no time to turn back now. But Lord, you are not looking for starters. You are looking for finishers. So Father Lord, I pray today that even when our hands are wearied and stuck to the sword, send us an Aaron that will lift up the prophet's hand. Amen. Even as we join our hands, Father, we pledge our support for each other, to be able to encourage each other, to be able to walk with each other, to be able to strengthen each other, to be able to march on with each other. Lord, help, Lord, that when the history of not just Blessed Hope is written, but when life is over and the books of records are opened, Father Lord, may we not just be mentioned in the preface. Father, may our names be on the roll call. Help us that our names will be remembered. Give us strength, Father, to be able to fight the good fight of faith until the end. Let it be said about us that we expended heavy energy and every resources and every time for the work of our Father. Blessed be your name. In the mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen.